now I want to talk about just how to actually handle the word. It's God's prerogative to reveal Himself. He chose to give us information about Himself. But yet, there are so many different doctrines. And so many different denominations. It's easy to believe that it is unknowable who God really is. And I want to say that is a lie from Satan. It is important for us to understand that God has given us the information that we need to know what is true. We are to worship Him in truth. And the Word of God is sufficient for every good work, which must mean He has given us in His Word enough revelation to resolve all doctrinal differences. And that's what it says in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the minister, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Understand what Paul is saying there. Doctrinal differences are because of either false prophets what 2 Peter promises. He promises there will be false prophets. And remember what a prophet does. He's not a fortune teller telling the future. A prophet is one who declares who God is. And so false prophets declare a false God that they call Jesus Christ. So some doctrinal differences are because people are worshiping an idol. That they call Jesus Christ. And the other doctrinal differences are because people are mishandling the Word of God. Doctrinal differences are always a sign of either sin or immaturity. I want to repeat that. Doctrinal differences are always, without exception, a result of sin, a result of immaturity. But they are never is a failure for God to have explained Himself. He's given the church everything it needs to come to the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But I've been coming to Nigeria for almost 10 years. And we've got all kinds of different denominational differences. But you say unity. And God says, unity through knowledge. You say unity through ignorance. God says you're supposed to have unity and the Spirit gives you unity through faith. And the way you have unity is through knowledge. Your view of unity is we can't know anything, so let's just agree to disagree. Jesus Christ is the truth. When you say we can be partners without caring about who Christ is, without caring about the knowledge of the Son of God, you have rejected Jesus Christ, because you say He's not true. You say He is truth. But what you've done is joined idols. You've joined idols to Christ. If you believe in Jesus, you must believe that all doctrinal differences are resolvable through the faithful handling of the Word of God. There has to be a standard of truth. It can't just be, well, I feel this. I feel like tongues in the church is a movement of the Holy Spirit. It has to be what does God's word say?
Menene kalmar Allah ta faɗi ta gaya mana.
What does God's word say?
Menene kalmar Allah take fada game da wannan?
By the way, it says,
kuma haka take cewa,
tongues are for unbelievers.
Harsuna an yi ta ne domin marasa gaskiya.
Tongues are always a sign.
Ai harsuna alamu ne.
Tongues in the church are always a sign.
Harsuna a cikin ecclesia a kowane lokaci tana bada wato alama ne.
That the church is filled with unbelievers.
Cewa ai ecclesia cike take da marasa gaskiya.
That's what God says.
Abinda Allah ya faɗa kenan.
People love to debate it.
Mutane suna kaunan yin muhawara.
They love to say, no, we see the Spirit move. But they don't just want to say.
Amma ba su so su ce.
Is that the Spirit of God?
Ko wannan Allah ne?
What does God's word say?
Menene maganan Allah ke faɗi game da wannan?
God gave his word.
Allah ya bada karmansa.
So there is a final authority.
Domin kuma shine ya zama ma'auni na ƙarshe.
So through the fullness of time.
Kuma a cikin cikakken lokaci.
The church will come to perfect unity.
Ai ecclesia za ta zo ga cikakken haɗin kai.
And what will happen?
Kuma me zai faru bayan wannan?
If you dealt with the word of God,
idan kun sarrafa kalmar Allah,
it would happen in Nigeria now.
Zai iya faruwa a ƙasarmu Nigeria yanzu haka.
God says through Paul.
Allah ya yi magana ta wurin manzo Bulus yana cewa.
Come to the unity of faith.
Yace haka ne zamu zo ga haɗin kai ta wurin bangaskiya.
The knowledge of the Son of God.
Kuma sanin dan Allah.
To a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro. I said this yesterday. Every time I come to Nigeria, it seems like there's a new doctrine that's flowing through the church. Stop being children. You have a duty to be men and women. You act like little children. That anybody can confuse. Because you won't say. There's a standard. Jesus Christ is the truth. His word is the truth. And it has to be the final standard by which everything is judged. So that's what it means to accept what is written. Let me talk about some of the challenges about accepting what is written. We all walk in to churches with biases. When we're saved, we've all been taught a standard of right and wrong. And even though it was by the world, that taught the standard. We come into the church and we accept that standard. And our bias is to keep that standard. For instance, did Jesus drink wine? And I mean wine with alcohol in it. Yes, he did. That's what the scripture says. It can't be debated. The word is clear. He's accused of being a drunkard. But in Nigeria,
among Nigeria,
every Christian thinks it's a sin to drink wine. It's easy to read the Word of God and bring your standard in that says it's wrong to drink something with alcohol in. But Jesus drank wine. Jesus did it. By definition, it is not a sin. But yet in your biases, you'll read into passages and say it's sin. Even though God said you can bring strong drink, meaning like whiskey. To the feast of the Lord. The sin is drunkenness. So do you see my point? Don't kid yourself. Your mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed from what you were taught as right and wrong. You can't be holier than God. It is not more righteous never to drink alcohol. Or people think they can be holier than Christ. But yet your bias is going to push you in that direction. When you read the Word of God, you have to accept it as it is written and not as you want it to say. In the most widespread thing is the nature of who God says. Because everybody hates the idea that they can't somehow force God to save them. But the Word of God is crystal clear. In Romans 9, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Meaning, is it unrighteous for God to say there is absolutely nothing? Nothing that Esau could ever do to be saved. The Bible even says God repents with tears. But the Word is crystal clear. If you are willing to accept what is written, it is not debatable. You just have to accept the Word whether you like them or not. You need to stop letting your biases about your feeling of how great you are to change what God says about Himself. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Now understand that when Paul quotes Moses, when he quotes Exodus, he's not twisting the word. Do you know when God said that to Moses? Moses says to God, show me your glory. And God's response is, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. When you say that somebody can come to faith based on their own works, you have rejected what God called His glory. This isn't a minor issue. But we want to make God small and God and man big. And Christians want to make God big and man small. Because the meek inherit the earth. Recognize your own biases. Verse 16, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but God who shows mercy. Nobody is saved by their own works. Nobody is saved unless God chose them before the foundation of the world. That's the unquestionable, undebatable teaching of Scripture. Verse 21, does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump, to make one vessel for honor. And one vessel for dishonor. But we hate that thought. Because we want to go, but man is man. Instead of being like David, man is dust. That God in His mercy gave His Spirit to
him.
Don't let your biases change you from accepting what is written. Understand, every single person, because this is the nature of sin, Every single person wants to make it God after their image. They want their sins to be acceptable to God. That's why false prophets are so acceptable. Why so many people love them. Remember the story in 1 Kings 22 where Ahab's going, wants to go to war, and they're saying, well, what do the prophets say? And all the prophets come. Say, you're going to have success. You're going to be so successful in the battle. People love false prophets. Because they make God to be how they want God to be. But here's what God says. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up? That he may fall at Ramoth Gilead. So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. God causes false prophets to arise to see if you will follow the false prophets or the true prophets. How do you tell if there is a lying spirit in their mouth? There is only one way. Test the lying spirit against truth. What is true? The Word of God. People want false prophets. The same reason that Ahab had, I think it was 400 prophets. That all said the same thing. God is the God that will give you victory. And they believed it. Because Ahab was a wicked man. and he wanted God to be the God that was like him.
Kuma yana son Allah ya zama kamar sa.
Another example.
Wata kwatanci.
That is very applicable, I believe.
Wanda tana nan daidai da abin da nake.
To the Nigerian context.
Da abin da ke faruwa a Nigeria.
Deuteronomy 18.
Kuma an shirya sura 18.
22.
Aya 22.
When a prophet speaks,
yayinda wani annabi yayi magana,
in the name of the Lord,
a cikin sunan Ubangiji,
if the thing does not come to pass,
idan abin da ya ambata ba ta faru ba,
if it does not happen,
kuma bai faru ba,
that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken.
Ya zama cewa ai abin da Allah bai faɗa ba.
The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. You have people that call themselves prophets. The biblical standard for a prophet
kowanne annabi da littafi ya bayar.
If you ever say God told me,
shine idan wannan annabin ya ce ai Allah ya gaya mini,
that this is going to come to pass,
cewa wannan abu zai faru,
and it doesn't come to pass,
sai kuma bai zo ga faruwa haka ba,
they have never heard from God.
Ai ba su taba ji daga wurin Ubangiji ba kenan.
You accept prophets that sometimes get it wrong. There is no prophet of God that foretells that ever gets it wrong. Because God doesn't lie. But you want to think. You have these prophets. They get it right 80% of the time. And they're speaking for God. And God's word says they were never speaking for God. Do you accept the word of God as written? Or do you want God to be the God that you want? And so when you read the word of God, in addition to looking for your own biases, make sure you check your attitude. Because you can have the attitude that David has. Psalm
119.
Verse
97.
Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies or my meditations, I understand more than the ancients. Because I keep your precepts. That's the attitude we're supposed to come to the Word of God. God says in James 1, that he will give wisdom to any who
ask.
Do you ask for wisdom?
And
he's told you how to get wisdom. You come to the Word of God. Not putting your thoughts into the passage. But come expecting God to speak to you. Our sin always tempts us. To put our words into God's mouth. But the Word of God is to put His words into our mouth. That's why David says, I'm wiser than my teachers. Do you come to the Word of God with the expectation of being rebuked, of being reproved, of being corrected, of being instructed in righteousness? Because the attitude with which we read the Word of God completely affects how effective the Word is in our lives. Are you like Job and his friends? Saying God has to be like this. Are you like David? Saying, show me God. Show me what you're really like. Let me give you some things that usually get in the way of that. And remember how passionate we can be about this. This is what Jesus Christ said about the Pharisees, so that he condemned them. They were more concerned about their traditions than they were about the Word of God. Mark 7, verses 6 through 9. And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me. It is vanity to worship, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. Jesus Christ is looking at the Pharisees and he's saying, your problem is you let the traditions of man overrule the commandments of God. I'm telling you, I have seen this happen in Nigeria. Over and over and over again. You quote a simple, straightforward passage. From Romans 9. Some vessels are made for honor. They're made to be in heaven. And some vessels are made for dishonor. God made them to populate hell. And people go, but my denomination says, if you ever say, the word of God says this, but my denomination says this, you have rejected the word of God for the traditions of men, and God destroyed the Jews for doing that very thing. It can be hard. It can be really hard. Maybe you grew up in a denomination. But who is your God? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it the Word of God? Or is it your denomination? If it's your denomination, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrite! You are a hypocrite. If you say you worship Jesus Christ and you put the traditions of man over the word of God, you're a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be worshiping God when they aren't. There is a place for hypocrites. The Bible's clear. That place is hell. That place is hell. God doesn't play around. He is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with another. He is a jealous God. Look at the Jews. They've been scattered over the face of the earth. For 2,000 years, they've been scattered over the face of the earth, just like Moses said they would be. In Deuteronomy 28. He says he will make them a proverb. In a byword. An astonishment. Over all the earth. When you look at how the Jews have been persecuted in Europe, in Russia, in America.
America.
They've been persecuted all over the world. And that persecution was sin. But God persecuted them in His perfect righteousness. Because they exalted the traditions of man over the Word of God. Be warned. Be warned. This is what a jealous God does to a people.
You
say, I follow Jesus Christ. But they exalt man. They obey man rather than obeying God. God scattered a nation through the whole earth so we could understand how seriously He takes doctrine. How much He cares. Whether you ascribe greatness to Him, or ascribe greatness to God or to man. Because whoever you set as your final authority, that's who you ascribe greatness to. That's who you worship. If you are unwilling to judge your denomination's doctrines against the Word of God, you are a hypocrite. And you honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Anyone who exalts the tradition of man over the Word of God hasn't found it. They're hypocrites like the Jews. There are traditions that we are to hold to. Because those traditions are how the church grows. 2 Thessalonians 2. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions that you were taught, whether by the word or our epistle, not by the traditions of man. Paul wrote to Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words that I have given you, and find others that will teach the same. Those are the traditions that we're to hold to. We don't run after every fad that comes into the church.
Otherwise,
you're like a little child that gets tossed to and fro. When you're seeking the traditions of man, you will be tossed all over the place. When you seek the traditions that were taught by the Word, you will stand fast. Let me end there. Let me pray. Oh Lord God, it is so common for man to exalt their opinion rather than humbly coming to the Word. We pray for everyone that's listening. May they humbly come to your Word rather than seeking their own thoughts, whether seeking the traditions of man. Let no one here be a hypocrite, saying that you are Lord while they give something else more authority than you. For we can only have one Lord, and that is you, Lord. And you give us your word. So we know what we are to do as your slaves. God, give us a heart through the work of your Spirit to accept what's written. Amen.